Did you hear us yell a different thing?
I said it correctly.
She did it.
Yay. Hi, guys. Welcome back. This is Threemium.
It sure is, Scott. And this is where we, every other week, we take a voicemail from you guys that you send to us via the popular website.
HagClaims8.com.
And we're going to do that right now. We're going to listen to a voicemail and we're going to talk about it.
And these are real people, by the way. These aren't actors that are reenacting actual voicemails that people have sent us. I know.
But that could still happen.
Yes. Sure. We if that does happen, of course, we'll be ashamed. But we will. Yes. We promise you that we will root out.
Well, we'll definitely root out if poison. People are doing that to us.
Yeah.
But there's a chance that we will hire actors to read them if we want to protect the identity of somebody who sent it.
Exactly.
So then we wouldn't be ashamed. We would be proud.
We'd be proud.
Also, if we want to just give our friends a little extra money, sometimes we'll hire actors to do stuff.
Oh, yeah. I've hired actors who are friends of ours to do stuff around my house.
Sure, yeah.
And I've had actors just be me on this show a couple times. If you can go through and spot which
seamless.
Times.
That's the Threedom Challenge.
Well, because that's amazing acting.
If you can tell when it's an actor that's doing Lauren.
Well, it's amazing impersonating.
Okay. Yeah. And the person has access to your bank account and stuff.
But I just want to be clear. Is it acting or is it impersonating?
Yeah. And I think
the
best
acting
is
Jamie Foxx Ray.
Jamie Foxx Ray?
Right.
Jamie Foxx Ray. You know him.
Hi, I'm Jamie Foxx
Ray. Jamie Foxx Ray and I don't care.
Jamie Foxx Ray and I don't care. Jamie Foxx Ray and I don't care.
That is acting. Jamie Foxx is incredible as Ray.
As an impersonation of Ray Charles.
But if he was just talking on a podcast as Ray Charles, is that acting?
Or is it reacting to someone asking him to do it?
And then doing the thing that he wanted to do.
And then doing the thing that he wanted to do. Okay, but if you are a reenactor of like a Civil War reenactor, that's different. You can, of course, leave us a voicemail.
Well, that's just you being yourself. But your job title is reenactor.
Oh, but don't
is
be
it an actual job?
Don't well, a hobby.
It should not be. But don't be wearing the uniform when you call us.
Please. Unless you're from the good side.
Yeah.
Well,
which, Paul, what do you think is the good side?
Fuck.
Here's what I have to say. I don't want anyone to be thinking about.
I'm colorblind, so I can't.
I don't want to think about
what uniforms apart,
they're wearing while they're talking to us. I don't want them to think about what they're wearing. So if you are wearing your reenactment costume, don't call us nude.
Don't call us telling us what you're
call
wearing.
Call us nude. But actually do call us, tell us what you're wearing.
No.
Don't ask us what we're wearing.
Don't
tell us what we're wearing.
Yes. Call and tell us what we're wearing.
And then we'll change into whatever you want us to wear.
You ask what we're wearing, we say how high.
We're like paper dolls.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's listen to this.
I'm gonna buy a paper doll.
Voicemail, and now I'm gonna turn it back up. I realized the theme was too loud because I turned up the voicemails.
Oh man, the distortion was
here
incredible.
We go.
I couldn't hear myself think.
Hey Pretzel Gang, this is Ben, long time yuck, first time yum. I wanted to see if there was anything in your career, whether it's like on a podcast or in stand-up or anything, that you wish you could redo. And I know that that's not a good way to look at things, but I'm curious, has there ever been a sketch where you're like, oh, we didn't really get what I was trying to do there? Or like a story you wish you could tell again, but differently without, you know, getting spanked? Just curious. All right. Love you. Bye.
Love you, Ben.
Love you, Ben. That's
a very nice question.
It is a good question.
It's making me think about all my failures.
Yeah. It's so tough to, because I think about it a lot about, oh man, if only I knew this then, or if only I had worked harder, if only I had not pursued this particular thing. It is semi-fruitless in a certain way, but maybe if it informs the choices you're making now, it's worthwhile? I don't know.
I would say very broadly, macro, I wish I'd never smoked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wish I'd gone to therapy sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Then like a thing like an actual like a do-over thing, I wish I had taped. There was a certain stand-up
those
hour.
Christmas presents together?
Yeah, together. So that person would think it was one big gift.
That would have been so good. It's a huge regret.
I wish I had recorded. I have an hour of stand-up called You Should Have Told Me that I wish I had done later because I recorded it and then I went on tour with it before the recording came out. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not ashamed of it.
Let's record it tomorrow. And it'll be like, it's what's the difference between that and remastering albums? You know what I mean? Like,
well, because I can't remember the stuff that I added to.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Then why should we?
Good point. I wish I never said this.
I think so many things you can't do you can't feel that way about because that was your capability at the time.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Your parents, you have to forgive them because that's the best they could do at the time.
Right. I was just listening to a podcast where this sort of thing was brought up, just sort of the idea of, I wish I had known this when I was 19. And why didn't I act this way when I was 19? And there was a therapist was talking to this person on the podcast, and it was about, and she was saying, you know, if you go back and read like your, like a journal or like an email from when you were 19, you would be like shocked by how dumb you are, basically. She didn't say like that.
Yeah.
She was just saying like, she was looking back at her old stuff and she was like, oh my God, I can't believe how much I didn't know. Yeah. Like, you are just a kid, whatever. Not saying that's true about all these things we're talking about. But it, I mean, it applies because I think it's just like letting yourself, giving yourself grace for what didn't go exactly right or things in your life or career or whatever, or just things you didn't achieve, do as well as you could have now. But it's like, you just couldn't. You didn't have that.
I struggle with that a lot yeah. lot because I can get very angry with my past self.
Yeah.
And it's like,
no, I think about that a lot. Yeah. Like, why didn't I work harder? Why didn't I know how to do this thing that I now know how to do? If only I'd known how to do it back then, and then my career would be different. And
that always makes me think of a story that a friend of mine told about being in therapy and the therapist saying to her, and if you could talk to little Amy, what would you say to her?
And her name was not Amy, right?
Just let's talk to little Amy.
And she was pointing.
If you could talk to little Amy, what would you say to her? And my friend said, "Thanks a fucking lot."
I mean, yeah, I definitely have things that I would look back. I mean, because the question was about career, which is, but it's hard not to apply it to everything else. But I just look back and I'm like, oh, that was a waste of time. Or why didn't I get that was a waste of time or whatever. And it's like, because you don't know anything.
Exactly.
Until you know. And then you experience the thing and then you go, oh, that's how that should have been.
Yeah.
Or I could have done that job better if I had known this or if.
Are we talking about Wordle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Connections.
Because once you see the answer, you're like, why didn't I put that from the start?
Why didn't I just guess?
Why didn't I? Why didn't know I just guess Ridge? Already?
Ridge.
Why didn't I just start with Ridge?
So it's a waste of time, but unfortunately, we all can't help but think of it all day, every day.
Exactly. We can't help but be consumed by it every waking moment.
Yep.
But but you know, then again, if things had gone differently, I feel like I've lucked into some. Many things in my
absolutely
life.
Yeah, and
then,
true.
Well, and I always come back to that the timing of everything else is based on everything else that happened. Yeah. Like, everything happens for a reason, quote unquote.
You can't be sort of like, oh man, okay, we were trying to have that baby for 10 years. Like, what if my body was 10 years younger when I was having the
go
baby?
Go on.
What if it looked like this?
Naked?
No, but you know, like, it's so difficult.
Right,
now,
you're like, oh, if we had just done this thing then.
But then
it wouldn't be
that
Emmy.
That person wouldn't exist.
I always think
back about that of like, if you went back and relived your life, the people in it, there's no way I ever would have met Kulop without all the things happening exactly the way they have, because we just were not in the same circles.
I would not have met Janie had it not been for Real Time with Bill Maher.
I met Mike on
God bless you, Bill Maher. Rest in power,
God bless
King.
You. Yeah, we miss you.
I met Mike on famed television sitcom Clipped.
Yeah,
which would not have happened.
I remember. Loaf of bread,
but also
milk and a stick of butter.
Clipped was a pilot that got picked up, and then it was a year until we shot the season.
Final scene.
And so we all became friends over this year.
Wow. Why was that?
I don't remember. It was something like...
very strange.
I know. I have to look back at this and see what the reason...
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I'm going to get into
that. Check in your files.
I don't know why it was, but anyways.
Yeah.
But it was like timing, you know?
So if there's good in your life, be thankful that the good is there, because unless you did the exact things that you did, it never would have happened.
You got to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You simply got to.
Yeah. And like with acting and stuff, it's like if you if I look back and I'm like, oh, that's not that great. When you look back and you're like, oh, I wish I had done that better. But it's like, but you literally, like, you can't even control which version they take of what you shot. So, like, maybe you did do it better. I mean, you know, it's just the whole...
I had an acting job last week, and I felt like, for the first time, and I feel like a long time, I felt like I did a good job. Mm-hmm. But, like, in the moment... I was like, nah, I didn't like that much. And then we did a few more takes and everything. And I felt like that's okay. And then, you know, the director, like eventually we finished the scene and I was like, if they're fine with it, then I have to be fine with it. You know what I mean?
Like, right. You just have to go like, that is what that was.
Yeah.
When I did the Weird Al movie, I got two takes and that was it. And I left going like, either I was terrible or I was so good it only needed two takes. Then eventually I just was like, look, it was a low budget movie. I'm sure they only wanted two takes.
There's
You can't help but drive home going like saying the line in a different way, going, I'd said it that way. Then I watched the movie and I'm fine. I got a laugh.
That you, like, I told you the story about when I worked on Modern Family and like the director kept giving me
notes.
Well, because here's why.
Oh, okay.
So I auditioned for I auditioned for them a million times, finally get this one part. And so I'm doing it, and after each take, the director is coming to me saying, like, he has this sort of stressed look on his face. He's like, can you do it like real big, go real big? And I'm like, sure, okay. And so I go real big, and then he comes back and goes, could you do it like just you, like you're a real asshole, just like you're the worst guy. I'm like, okay, do that. And he goes, okay, now can you do it like you really hate this person, like do it like that. And he's giving me these directions with this real stressed out look, and I'm this is not going well. And on the way back, and it was at Fox, of course, so it's I have a long drive home, and I was like, that didn't feel good.
Yeah. Right.
And then they replaced me.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so hard, though, because it's like, it sounds like he didn't really know what he wanted from you.
It was not him.
That's tough. It's hard as a director. I went through that the first season of my show, where the director just had the way of talking where it was like, it felt like you were doing something wrong every time, anytime you gave a note. And then eventually I was like, I left that first season going like, I don't think I'm funny at all. And then we had a discussion in between seasons. It was like,
confirmed.
He's like, you're not funny.
But it was like, no, that was just the way he was giving notes of like, he's trying to perfect it after the first take. And I'm like, well, this is comedy. Let us like just kind of try some stuff.
Well, some directors really can't talk to actors.
Yeah. But very strange.
It's something that I like had to, because early plays that I directed, I was always like doing the same thing, going like, well, what if you did it this way after just one try? And it's like, no, give people a couple of, what I learned is like, laugh, come over, say that was really funny.
Yeah.
Hey, what? And then maybe a small adjustment, or like, let's just do it again. Like, don't even give a note after the first take and just say, let's just do it again. And then after the second one, maybe go like, oh, okay, what if you did this, you know? But it's like such a unique skill to like make an actor in comedy, I'm saying, to make an actor feel like comfortable enough where they're like, okay, let's just, you know,
have fun.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, Ben, maybe we got off topic a little there.
We got back to it.
That's going to be it for this three visiting. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Remember to leave these voicemails at hagclaims8.com.
Yeah.
And we'll see you on the flippy fly.
Bye.